Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 23. Verses 13 to 23, the cowherd boys approach the wives of the brahmanas. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, when the boys saw that the brahmanas would not reply to them even with a simple yes or no, they became very much disappointed. They then returned to Lord Krishna and Balaram and explained everything that had happened. After hearing their statements, the Supreme Personality of Godhead smiled. He told them they should not be sorry for being refused by the brahmanas, because that is the way of begging. He convinced them that one who is engaged in collecting or begging should not think that he will be successful everywhere. He may be unsuccessful in some places, but that should not be cause for disappointment. Right? So that's the whole point in begging. Then, what is it called? It's called mrita. Right, of the six different occupations. So mrita means death. It means you will be insulted at some point. So somebody will be nice, somebody won't be nice. Sometimes you'll be successful, sometimes you're not. That's just the way of begging. So that's what he's saying. Don't be disappointed if you're begging and you're not successful. It's just the way it works. Yes.
Sometimes, like in modern society, materialistic society, this whole begging concept is very negatively charged. Right?
Yeah.
So sometimes when we're preaching and we're taking on this begging mood, it's actually seen as like what are you, some kind of gypsy? Like, you apparently
have nothing. And then you just tell them, says, do I look like a gypsy?
Yes, sometimes we do.
You just tell them, do I look like a gypsy? So the point is that spiritual life is something beyond material. And so therefore, then opportunity is there. So we're requesting you to take part in it. You don't want to take part in it? Hey, that's yours.
Yeah.
You like staying in the material world? Hey,
sure.
You can stay here as long as you like, you know? Like that.
But practically speaking, as we're performing it today, I mean, we kind of look like gypsies sometimes. It doesn't seem like it's working.
But the point is who's not begging?
Mm.
It's just that we may not be so obvious at covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're making that PowerPoint presentation and this and that and trying to get the deal, are you not begging? So if we want to put it in that context, if someone else has something you want and you want to get it, then that's begging.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole corporate world, that's all they do is beg.
Mm-hmm.
And only when they have enough money that they can buy something, then they're not begging.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, because, I mean, at least in the circles I grew up in, there's names for people who go and hang out with more people who are more powerful and try to, you know, make them happy. And that way you get benefit.
Right.
So the corporate world doesn't do that. Yeah, so that's considered even worse than begging. You could maintain some dignity by begging.
Mm-hmm. Because you're...
You know, because you're doing for a thing like that. So, you know, so are they going to buy it that God consciousness is superior to the material, so being a practitioner of God consciousness, so therefore I order you to give us some money. You know, in fact, it's all God's money anyway, so you're a thief. Why are you keeping it saying it's your money? So you should hand it over all right now. Well, they buy that one. So therefore, they can't handle that, so we do the begging. And if they're not going to deal with that, then they're just uncultured. You don't have to whine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not there, but you have to present a good case. You know? But I mean, devotees will bring this up, but from where? Oh yeah, you're out on the street, you're panhandling and this and that, and so then that's the bad thing. The real good thing is when, you know, people are giving you endowments and stuff like this. Great. But what are they doing now? They're neither panhandling or getting, you know, what do you call it? endowment. So it's like, what does it matter? You know, the whole Western world, you know, that claims themselves Western world, pretty much they have to claim that it's a Christian culture. So the Christians, they were there right from the beginning getting all the endowments and everything? Or that only started at the Holy Roman Empire? That means for 400 years they were getting, you know, they were being used as torches and, you know, and lion food. You know? So it's like, you know, that's just the way things were. You know, they didn't go to school, they didn't learn any history. You know, and so if they put that in your face that you're like gypsies, you just put your in your face back and you'll see that they've just calmed down. Because they're used to, they're the big guy, they can say whatever they like, and when you say it back because you're actually, you know, coming from a more elevated position, then... Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Or if it doesn't matter at that point, then you just don't say anything. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. You know, they want to ride their gilded bucket to hell, then hey.
You don't need to push them.
Yeah, we don't need to push. They're already going. Because this whole thing is, then it's an economic consideration. And is that the top? Are we vaishyas that economics is the only consideration of dignity? Is that all?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point, is they'll put it down to that. But then okay, if gypsies are bad, then what about everybody else? It means the Germans were very practical. They didn't beg and everything like that. What was their policy on gypsies?
Yeah.
Where did they end up?
Yeah.
Okay. What about anybody who was gay? Same thing. So if you want to throw it in there, gypsies, gays, throw the Jews in, you know, anybody you don't like politically, then it all goes into there. But now if we're talking about, we're broad-minded, what's wrong with gypsies?
Mm-hmm.
If you consider yourself liberal, what's the problem with gypsies? You know what I'm saying? With that, they say they're thieves. Then it's just that they're small thieves.
Yeah.
Big countries go in, take over other countries, and take everything. That's not thieves. Mm-hmm. Spain went and took all of South America's wealth, all of it.
Yeah.
They're not thieves,
mm-hmm.
And they're not even good managers. They're not even a big, powerful economic country. So mm-hmm. They stole all the money and they lost it. So it's like, you know, how good is that? You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is then if you're going to look at that, then how far do you want to take it?
United Kingdom looted India and now it's being taken over by India.
Yeah, of course.
50 years later, 70 years later.
Your Oxford Street, and then you have Regent.
Yeah.
So from Oxford, I think if you go down two gullies, if you're on Regent looking at Oxford, you know, going down towards Piccadilly, then on the left, in that first block, in one of those, I was walking by, and I saw on the front of the store, East India Company. So I thought, wow. You know, so I went in, said, and I asked, is this the East India Company, or you just thought it was a cool name? And no, it says, this is the East India Company. Who owns East India Company?
I haven't seen it.
It's there. And they sell all stuff from India and stuff
like that.
You know, all, you know, far out, you know, exclusive stuff from India. It's owned by Indians. Indians bought the East India Company. So like you said, is that, you know, they're buying it and pretty soon it's all, yeah. So
Tata is the company that employs most Britons in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They bought some steel mill and some mines and stuff there.
Well, they also have Jaguar and all those guys. They enjoy it. Yeah, so it's just a matter of time.
Peacefully taking away.
Yeah. Not so loud.
What are they going to do?
True. But so the whole point is that's not why we do things, because this is how we're supposed to do it. What do we care about? Christians did what they did and they're successful.
Mm.
You know, everybody does what they do and they're successful. Like that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just how begging works. So it's a cultural thing. It's a matter of that. So we're doing it not because it's a necessity. We could go out and get a job. It's a matter of we're doing it because then this is beneficial for spiritual life.
So it's an understanding.
It's an understanding. Yeah. It's a matter of a discipline. So they don't like it, then hey, go talk to someone else who does. That's the rule of the Madhyama. You talk to those who are interested. Those who are not, you leave them. Go talk to the next one. You have limited time, so you want to talk to the maximum amount of persons who are interested. Because there's unlimited living entities, so who do you pick? The ones that are interested. Like that. And you don't care about everybody else, because you can't. Yes?
Actually, you know, from experience, we notice that begging forces us to be personal with people. Otherwise, if you put price on everything, then you don't have to talk to anybody. It just goes through the... You know, it's like...
Yeah. True. Yeah. Because it's the reason that the Brahmins and the Brahmacharis, Vanaprasas, Sannyasis, they beg is because it's character building. That's the whole thing. You have to improve the quality of your character to be able to function with it. That's what it's there. And then higher than that, though it's not taken as a stand, it's not a recommendation, but it's understood as higher, is Amrita. Right? Where, I mean, Rita will be higher than that because you just go and take what people don't want. So you just glean from the field. So that's the fancy name. That's the nice name. You know, so in the religious thing, it'll be that. In the modern, they'll say you're scavengers. But the point is you're not disturbing anybody. Even the dogs. Thank you.
Dogs in Vrindavan singing along with
these guys come and bark and people are doing something, dogs want to take part, they always come along, right? There's some excitement, they want to be there.
Many times the mistake that we make is that while begging we demand that we want much amount, that's why people are not interested, they just refuse.
When begging we demand, the two don't go so well together. You can't say, I humbly implore you to give me exactly what I want. You can't do that. Yeah, it doesn't. Second way.
That's the echo.
The echo. Yeah. And that's what we're getting here. And then there's the echo up in the heavenly planet.
Yeah.
Just have to wait for the showering of the flowers. Yes, so it's a very much part. So Rita is then considered higher than that. And then Amrita is the highest. But it's not recommended. Because in Amrita, then there's no endeavor at all. So that's not because they're lazy. It's because they're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they don't even bother about it. And then whatever comes, then works. So we see in the 11th canto, in the Python Sadhu, that is Amrita. He just stays there in his spot. And whatever comes, then that's there. Because if you do it, it will come to you. See, the difference is the karmi thinks, I work, I'm getting. No, you're going to get whatever you do without working. But if you want anything in the future, you have to work. So, therefore, that's the recommendation. That's that you work. So it keeps the continuity. But for the Paramahamsa, they're not worried about getting anything here, so they don't make that endeavor. But many will do that just out of laziness. And so that's not a recommendation. So it's not recommended, but there are those who do it because they come to their natural position, right? Because they're not making an endeavor to make no endeavor, right? So as far as things to endeavor for, then gleaning, begging, farming, business, right? These are then you make that endeavor. But Amrita, you can't be making an endeavor to do no endeavor. Otherwise, then it's an endeavor.
It's an endeavor.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lord Krishna then asked all the boys to go again, but this time to the wives of those Brahmins engaged in sacrifices. He also informed them that these wives were great devotees. Right? So now they say the same thing. So the Brahmins, they went to where the sacrifice is going on. For the ladies, then they'll go back in the other part of the, you know, wherever they're staying, that will be connected with the ladies. And, yeah, and we always have to remember is that when the yagyic Brahmins, much of the preparation is all done by the wives. You know, when it comes to the food stuff and all that, they're making the arrangements. The technical things like that, the men are doing like that. So then you're going to the right party when you go there. Go there and ask for some food in my name, in the name of Balaram, and I am sure that they will deliver you as much food as you desire. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Universe, simply laughed. Right? Because it doesn't bother him. It's all his anyway, so it's not a matter of... Then he again addressed the coward boy, showing them the way men act in this world. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. Though the boy spoke to both of them, Balaram did not reply, since he was angry because of offense to Krishna and knew Krishna's intentions. Right? Because otherwise he'd just go in there and lay waste to everything. But he knows that Krishna is trying to bring out the glory of the wives, and in this way that will also cause the surrender of the husbands, or at least a favorable distribution. Disposition, yes. No, the wives will distribute, they'll be favorably disposed. Krishna answered. He heard them while they were close, as they slowly revealed the Brahmana's disrespect with sorrow. He laughed loudly because he was the controller of everything and was endowed with all powers. He asked for food for fun. Food for fun. That could be a good one, right? You're welcome. Food for fun. Yeah, Sunday feast. Food for fun. Therefore, it was appropriate to laugh with detachment. He showed that if asking men did not succeed, one should ask their wives. Lauki kim gatim. This is one curious pastime with a special point. Right? So it's not a common pastime. It's kind of unique. Right? After showing that humans are inferior to the trees from the previous chapter, he shows that those devoted to chanting the Vedas and doing sacrifices, but who are not devotees of the Lord, end up suffering with faults of pride, etc., and do not attain auspiciousness. Whereas devotees without these faults are topmost. He performed this pastime to show this point to the people by the behavior of the Brahmins and their wives. So he's already established the trees as so charitable. So the humans like that is highly glorified. So therefore now he shows that the topmost of humans, the Brahmins, if they're not devotees, then and miserly, then you'll see they're actually worse position than trees. Right? That's why in the cycle of samsara, if you stay within the material consideration, then you always go down. Because if we say samsara goes up, what's on the top? Brahmins. And then one goes down again. Why? Because one doesn't act with pride and all that, so we go down. Does that make sense? And so as you develop that humility on the way down, and when you get to hit the bottom, then it starts up again. Right? And then when the pride comes, then it goes down again. Because by how it will look good, let's say we're starting at zero, okay? And we're going up to, you know, the top, right? So now at halfway up, things are starting to look better, right? But also halfway down, they still look all right. It's the same amount of facility. You understand? So that's the thing, is they think they're doing okay. The modern culture may think it's doing okay, but it can be going on the other side. Right? So that's the whole problem. Lord Krishna said, "Tell the wives of the Brahmanas that I have come here with Lord Sankarsana. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate towards me, and, indeed, with their intelligence, reside in me alone." Footnote 13. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 14 to the Bhagavad Arkarmichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love. The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So the love that they have for Krishna, whatever their position, and Krishna's appreciation of that. Their love for Krishna is so nice that Krishna is performing a whole pastime just for them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Lord Krishna said, "Just tell the wives of the Brahmins that we are coming. You do not have to tell them that we are hungry. For if they hear that we are hungry, they will become miserable, thinking that we are suffering." The boys replied, "But how will they give us food if we do not tell them you are hungry?" Krishna said, "Seeing that you are hungry, they will give for us." The boys replied, "But their husbands will prevent them." Krishna concluded, "They have great affection for me. They will not consider the obstructions of their husbands, for their minds dwell in me. They live in their husbands' houses in body only." Right? Because that's the whole point, is that family life technically means the gross and subtle body. It doesn't mean the consciousness. Right? That's why devotees can be very good at performing their duties in household life and be ideal couples. But it's not that their consciousness is in the material position of the couples. Their consciousness is in Krishna. And then these are the duties they perform. Right? So therefore they're doing their duties very nicely and all that, but the consciousness is Krishna. So when it comes down to this, then they're going to break the rules here, or seemingly break the rules for Krishna, but actually it's all his anyway. So they're just, all they're doing is the husband's going to offer it to a demigod, then who has to then connect with Krishna. They're just going to offer it directly to Krishna. And they'll do it in spontaneous love, while their husbands will try to do it through some technical ritual. Right? So they're not breaking any rule at all, actually. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The coward boys then went to the house where the Brahmins' wives were staying." Right? So he says to the house where they're staying. Because generally in the village, we have many houses. So there's one where you stay there, there's ones for guests, there's ones where you keep the cows. You know what I mean? So it's generally a whole thing. There's a courtyard, that's generally where all the yagyas go on, and then you have houses all around. You know, generally the kitchen's a separate house, the bathrooms, bathing, and all that's a separate house. So they're all different houses. That way you can have many small houses which are easier to make and maintain than one big monster house. There the boys saw those chaste ladies sitting, nicely decorated with fine ornaments. Bowing down to the Brahmin ladies, the boys addressed them in all humility. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, "The wives were sitting, not engaged in action like their husbands. They were sitting comfortably and were happily engaged in discussions with devotion about the Lord. Ornaments were the sign that they were wives of the Brahmanas. Or they were ornamented with signs of prema, depending on how you're taking the ornamentation. Because either they have the gold ornaments because they're the wives of the Brahmins, and or that the ornaments themselves become decorated because of their devotional mood. So you'll notice that is the ornamentation. Didn't we say it? I don't remember the name. It's one of the qualities of Krishna and the gopis, where it means that they make the ornaments more beautiful by wearing. It's one of the sanctuaries. They were wives, Satyahi, of the Brahmanas. Though they were wives, they were also pure, Satyahi, having bhakti for the Lord. They were pure or superior to the husbands, the Brahmanas. The boys were polite by nature, Vinata, or Pashuritaha, or because they had heard of the wives' affection for the Lord. Right, so they're respectful because they're Brahmins. You're always respectful to ladies. That's always going to be there. Men, there'll be a gradation of respect according to their position. But for women, all women are respectable. That's also a different aspect. Then, within all women are respectable, there might be that aspect of you know, someone higher or lower. Like someone, the queen, or like this, the Brahmin's wife, or like this. Yes, or because they heard that they're nice devotees, so then they may also then be very affectionate. The cowherd boy said, "Obeisance is unto you, O wives of the learned brahmanas. Kindly hear our words. We have been sent here by Lord Krishna, who is passing not far from here. He has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram tending the cows. Now he is hungry, so some food should be given for him and his companions." Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. The cowherd boys call Balaram by the name Rama to indicate that he always gives joy to Krishna.
Footnote 14.
Okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 17 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled "The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Devotion." The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So that the Lord is playing this point that he's hungry and taking food from the devotee, then for Krishna, then that's a very nice situation. He likes that. It pleases him. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. The cowherd boys call Balaram by the name Rama to indicate that he always gives joy to Krishna. They do not show formality at this time, from verse 17. Previously, Krishna used the name Sankarsana to indicate Balaram's powers, but the boys called him Rama to indicate his absorption in Krishna, right? So he was pointing out his greatness, right? So Krishna's there with Sankarsana, who's, you know, his you know, the all-powerful, you know, personality of Godhead. But the boys just use Rama to show that he brings Krishna to pleasure to Krishna. Previously, it was suitable to show reverence, but now, because of the attraction for Krishna in the wives, such reverence was not necessary. Right? With the husbands, then they'll say that, but with the others, no. The boys' request: food should be given to Krishna along with Balaram and the other boys. Sanu gasya. It should be given excellently with sweet rice and cups for drinking. Previously, on instructions, they were only asked for rice for the two boys. Now they ask for excellent food for everyone without having received instructions from Krishna. They joke with them because of hearing about the wives' great attraction to Krishna. It was possible that they would go quickly to Krishna without bringing any food. Right, so they're worried they won't bring food. They'll just go quickly. Oh, okay, they're going around to the Goshala and stuff. No dogs. Unless they were in the echo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Going back to
Godhead. Oh. Cool. Yeah. Sugadeva Goswami continued, "The wives of the Brahmins were always eager to see Krishna, for the minds had been enchanted by descriptions of him. Thus, as soon as they heard that he had come, they became very excited. Taking along in large vessels the four kinds of foods, full of fine tastes and aromas, all the ladies went forth to meet their beloved, just as rivers flow towards the sea." Right? Because rivers, you don't have to make them flow. There's no rules. You don't have, every now and again, there's, you know, some, how you say, forest gnome or something there, you know, pointing, you know, like that. Quit stagnating. Keep moving, you know. Does that make sense? It's natural. So that's the thing, is the rivers naturally flow. So like that, their devotion to Krishna naturally flowed. Note 15. Srila Bhaktivinoda assigns verse 19 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So here, just that natural flowing, that spontaneity that is there, then that brings out another aspect of the unlimited aspects of bhakti. Right? So it sounds like we see the disappointment that people aren't serving Krishna, the anger that Balaram has about that. These are all other aspects of the dimensions of rasa. Like that. And here now their excitement, their natural spontaneity. These are all just different aspects of pure pure love for Krishna. Yes. That we'll see. I don't think so. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The four types of food are those that are chewed, sucked, licked, and drunk. The foods had been cooked skillfully with taste and fragrance, bahugana. Right, so it's all the varieties of things that you can get, because you can make the various tastes, but then you also have the various textures that they're in. Right? Because if they're chewed, that means they're solid. Right? If they're drunk, that means then they're liquid, or something you would put in a cup like that. You know, if they're sucked, it means it's a little bit thicker than drunk, but not quite. And licked means it's a little bit less thick than chewed. Right? You know, it's just like in the sabji, the pieces of the sabji, you know, the one with a sauce or a gravy, the pieces of sabji, that's chewed, but the gravy is licked. Because to get it off the plate, then you have to get it off and lick it off your hands. Right? Some of the things. Yeah. And drunk, then that's there. Sucked, then basically, unless you're South Indian, you may not know what that means. But,
you may have a different conception for it.
Yeah. Unless you're talking about, you know, a straw or something, then yes, then that's sucked. Okay. Then that can also work.
Right. Certain mango is so pulpy that you're not supposed to cut it. Squeeze it a little bit and open the top of it and suck.
Yeah, suck. Yeah, okay, that's another way of sucking. So you're giving an option how those from the north can also appreciate suck. Because otherwise, only South Indians can put water on their plate, and with their hand they can catch it and get it in their mouth and suck it. Right? Yeah. That's how you eat rasa, right? That's also why their plate faces away from you. In north, the plate faces towards you, so if there's anything liquid, it'll come on you, but they don't cook that liquid. But in south, they cook more liquid, and so then the plate faces away, so if anything's too, it'll run away, it'll run out, it won't run on you. Yes. What's the fun in that? Because you're eating with the rice. So it's good with the rice, but then there's some left on the plate. So then you catch it. Yeah, that's the real rasa there. And then they, even while they're going and serving, then you put out your hand and drink really quickly while they're serving. Yeah. You know that one? Yeah, so it's all part of the rasa. So, yeah. Yes. Yeah, the Muslims never went south, so they still have these techniques. Right? Okay. They went to meet Krishna playing the role of illicit lovers in order to avoid censure for their conduct. They are described as rivers flowing down naturally towards the ocean because they had heard for a long time about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, immediately upon hearing this, the wives of the Brahmins became anxious for Krishna and Balaram. These reactions were spontaneous. They did not have to be convinced of the importance of Krishna and Balaram. Immediately upon hearing their names, they became very eager to see them. Being advanced by thinking of Krishna constantly, they were performing the greatest form of mystic meditation. All of the wives then became very busy, engaged in filling up different pots with nice food. Due to the performance of the sacrifice, the various foods were all very palatable. Because you'll do daily cooking, it's always nice, but it wouldn't be fancy. But when you're cooking for special occasions, like this, for a sacrifice, guests are there, wedding, then you cook at a higher level. So that makes it all that. So because it's a yagya, then that's there. Because if they had come on a normal day, then they would have gotten some chipped rice or something. Like that. They picked the right day. Okay. All the wives then became very busily engaged in filling up different pots with nice food. Due to the performance of the sacrifice, the various foods were all very palatable. After collecting a feast, they prepared to go to Krishna's, right? So they're going to make sure they get all the things, what goes with what, and this and that. You know, you don't bring plain rice or just bring some rasam or like that. They know how to... Yeah. They know how to put it all together. Like that. After collecting a feast, they prepared to go to Krishna, their most beloved object, exactly in the way rivers flow to the sea. Sukadeva Goswami continued, although their husbands, brothers, sons, and other relatives tried to forbid them from going, their hope of seeing Krishna, cultivated by excessive hearing of his transcendental qualities, won out. Right? So therefore, excessively hearing about Krishna is good. That's the one excess that you can indulge in. Along the river Jamuna, with a garden decorated with buds of Ashoka trees, they caught sight of him strolling along in the company of the cowherd boys and his elder brother, Balarama.
Maharaj, yesterday we mentioned that Ashoka trees do not have flowers and buds. Which is this Ashoka tree?
And now they have buds, but what are they buds of? Does a bud only give a flower? If you look at the end of the branch, when it's growing a new, you know, it's extending the branch, then the end of it's a bud. Or it starts off a bud, then it starts to grow. So it's the time when they all will grow.
Spring time, usually
we
see.
Yes. Yes, like that, yeah. So the Goswami is not hallucinating. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, for a long time the wives have been eager to see Krishna. However, when they were preparing to leave home to go see him, their husbands, fathers, sons, and relatives asked them not to go. But the wives did not comply. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he does not care for bodily ties. The women enter the forest of Vrindavan on the bank of the Jamuna, which was verdant with vegetation and newly grown vines and flowers. Within that forest, they saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in tending the cows along with their very affectionate boyfriends. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates. The husband tried to prevent them, fearing that the wives would reject them, first by trying to control them and then by using disrespectful words. The brothers tried to prevent them because of greater affection. Then the sons tried to prevent them out of greater affection. Mothers are not mentioned as they would assist fathers instead of bahubihi. However, there is no forbiddance of having such a bhava for the Lord. They had developed strong hopes for strong desires with a special bhava because of hearing for a long time about Krishna. Dirgha Shruta means, O Parikit, you have heard scriptures for a long time. Their behavior is suitable for a person who has heard scriptures. Or, Parikit, though you have heard scriptures for a long time, have you ever heard of such bhakti as theirs? Viritashaya means they had fixed in their heart or had strong desires at all times with special bhavas. They were forbidden by their husbands nearby or others nearby, as the case may be. They were forbidden from going. Right? Whatever it is, they were forbidden from going. That's the point. Who's forbidding them and all those technicalities, that's not actually the important point. The others said, send food through others, but do not go. Right? So now at least they're agreeing to the food part, but you know, this. They saw Krishna. He was playing, surrounded by friends. This indicates special beauty. Or they saw him even though he was surrounded by friends, since he was most conspicuous among them. So even that he's most beautiful surrounded by the friends, or despite all the friends, they can still see him because he's the most glorious out of all of them. He was with his elder brother. This indicates that his beauty was superior to all others. Beauty including that of Balaram, since the word with indicates a secondary person. The wives are addressed simply as women to show the misfortune of their husbands. Right? So here they're just called women, not wives. Before they were the wives of the Brahmanas. But now that they've come out without, they're just called women. Right? Because not that they're independent or that there's any consideration of that, but it's about that they disregarded the husband because their husbands weren't God conscious, and so they practiced Krishna consciousness despite the husbands. And so therefore, how are they doing that? Not as wives, they're doing it as women. You know, as devotees. So it says. Because it said the mothers, then as mothers they assist the husband. So then you couldn't use that term. Right? So does that make sense? They start with wives, don't mention mothers. And then because mothers means they assist the husband. So then why would they be leaving? So that's then their wife, then they're women. That makes sense? So these are the subtleties the acharyas bring out. And that's just to show the misfortune of their husbands. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, his complexion was dark blue and his garment golden. Wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves, he was dressed like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend, and with the other twirled a lotus. Footnote 16. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, in his right hand he twirled a play lotus. Play lotus means it's a real lotus, but it's for playing. Right? Radharani also has them. By this, he was telling them, with their love for him, that he had accepted their lotus hearts in his hand and would give them bliss. Or he was telling them, just see, my lotus heart is turning with bliss. You can conclude this by my actions. In either way, so then this is the aspect of the play lotus. Mm-hmm. Lilies graced his ears. His hair hung down over his cheeks. And his lotus-like face was smiling. Footnote 17. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 22 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So Krishna, out of his affection for the devotees, then he appears so beautifully. Right? Because they have that affection for him, then he appears in this very nice way. So that's the whole point. On his own, Prabhupada says, on his own, you know, he's not especially attractive. But when his internal potency expands, then he looks very, very beautiful. So depending on that aspect, then he'll look very nice or expand this even more. So he'll already be attractive because he's with Balaram and the cowherd boys. Right? If he's just on his own as Atmarama, then he won't be so attractive because that's not the feature he's displaying. But when he's with devotees, then it's more. But then we see then this great surrender of the wives of the Brahmins, then you have even more beauties there. Srila Sanatan Goswami cites the Vishnu Purana and the Harivamsa to convey that in this particular pastime, aside from wearing his usual peacock feather on his head, the Lord also wore one string around his neck, hanging just below his throat and fluttering in the breeze. So he was wearing a garland of them. So I bet a short one. Sukadeva Goswami continued, I don't think I've ever seen anyone put that kind of a decoration on the deities. That's a nice one. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O ruler of men, for a long time those Brahmana ladies had heard about Krishna, their beloved, and his glories had become the constant ornaments of their ears. Indeed, their minds were always absorbed in him. Through the apertures of their eyes, they now forced him to enter within their hearts, and then they embraced him within for a long time. In this way, they finally gave up the pain of separation from him, just as sages give up the anxiety of false ego by embracing their innermost consciousness. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, then immediately that form entered through their eyes, acting as doors to the mind. By their minds, they then embraced him. In shyness, they closed the doors of their eyes and clung to him in their heart, to their heart's content. They gave up the pain of not being able to touch him, not allowing the pain to return. V. Without the prefix V, it would be indicated that they gave up only a portion of suffering. Sridhar Swami explains that they experience pleasure now by their senses, as they had previously done in meditation. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, within themselves they began to embrace Krishna to their heart's content, and the distress of separation was mitigated immediately. They were just like great sages who, by their advancement of knowledge, merged into the existence of the Supreme. As the Supreme living, as the Super Soul living in everyone's heart, Lord Krishna could understand their minds. They had come to him despite all the protests of their relatives, fathers, husbands, and brothers. And despite all the duties of household affairs, they came just to see him, who was their life and soul. They were exactly following Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. One should surrender to him, giving up all varieties of occupational and religious duties. He therefore began to speak to them, smiling very magnificently. It should be noted in this connection that when Krishna entered into the wives' hearts, and when they embraced him and felt the transcendental bliss of being merged with him, the Supreme Lord Krishna did not lose his identity, nor did the individual's wives lose theirs. We have to understand that this merging is that of the oneness of that that feeling or that aspect in rasa. Right? There's that aspect of oneness, not the oneness that they don't have individual natures anymore. That makes sense? So that's the aspect.
That would be a material conception.
That would be a material, yeah, because that's not, because merging the Brahman, that's, because they think they lose their identity, but they don't. Otherwise, how do they taste that it's nice being in Brahman unless they're a separate individual? So it doesn't actually exist, merging in Brahman.
Who is experiencing this oneness?
Yes, that's the whole point, yes. So here it's just it's just an elevated state. That's the meaning in Vishishta Dwait or Vishuddha Dwait. Means the mood of the devotee and the Lord are the same. Therefore, then there's that community on that level. Right? Yeah. The individuality of both the Lord and the wives remained, but they felt oneness in existence. When a lover submits to his lover without any pinch of personal consideration, that is called oneness. Lord Chaitanya has taught us this feeling of oneness in his Shikshastaka. Krishna may act freely, doing whatever he likes, but the devotee should always be in oneness or in agreement with his desires. That oneness was exhibited by the wives of the Brahmins in their love for Krishna. Right, so this is what we're talking about. It's just about Krishna. So that's why one gives up all other considerations. Does that make sense? So, that one has other considerations, that's fine. You connect those to Krishna, they'll get purified. But as they get purified, then they should be let go. Right? And if there's something within duties that you need to function within, then that's performed. If it's something not necessarily, it's given up. But this identity, this maintaining the material identity, it's actually the tenth offense to the holy name. You have attachments, that's not the offense of the holy name. That you maintain the attachments. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. If you see is, oh, I can't live in this way because of my conditioning, so therefore, but I will try to be engaged in Krishna's service, and then as we get purified, then we find we can then therefore live in those kind of situations, and that's fine. Right? But if we could live in them, we don't because of attachment, then that's an effect. Because you're not giving things up for Krishna, you're not moving forward for Krishna. You can say, but why do I have to give up everything? Krishna is, he's already sitting in your heart, right? I mean, he's already come to a funky place, right? And he's sitting there. So then, you know, that's not uncomfortable, right? So therefore, he's doing that for us. So why can't we reciprocate? You know? Does that make sense? So, in other words, don't keep the heart funky. Right? Okay, so that's the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That's the topmost teaching. Verses 24 to 37. Sri Krishna gives the ladies an appropriate benediction. Sukadev Goswami continued, Lord Krishna, who witnesses the thoughts of all creatures, understood how those ladies had abandoned all worldly hopes and come there simply to see him. Thus he addressed them as follows with a smile upon his face. Srila Sanatana Goswami elaborates, because he was the witness of all intelligence, Akhila Drig Drashta, he understood them. Or, though he understood them, he spoke, showing logic, since he was knowledgeable of all types of knowledge. He thought, it is not proper to accept these Brahmin women's, these Brahmanas' women as servants. Or, he thought, it is not proper for me to marry while I live in Braj. Right? So, that answers your question. Yeah. Yes, so this dridrashtya, then that's the aspect Krishna sees all, you know. He knows all. That aspect, then that's a very important aspect of our philosophy. They're not focused on so much. Everything is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna perceives everything through everything. Therefore, we can also know Krishna in everything through everything. So there's no situation that we're in where we cannot see Krishna. Right. But it is the logical aspect, as mentioned here.
So giving up material desires just means learning how to see Krishna.
See Krishna, because what are we giving up?
Yeah, exactly.
We're seeing, we still have to eat, but it's not we're worried about eating, we're worried about feeding Krishna.
And the eating still goes on.
Yeah, and eating goes on. So if we cook for Krishna, generally it'll come out nicer than if we cook for ourselves. Unless you're really materialistic and really, then you can cook nicely for yourself. But otherwise, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know how you say. On a good day, you can bring it to edible. Yeah, but cooking for Krishna, then you can make it nice. Yeah.
Maharaj, Krishna is using logical approach right now, and he's going to do the same as the gopis when they come in an emotional stage to him. Why did he do that?
Because technically the only way to deal with the emotional stage is logic.
But then they know it.
But you have to deal in an appropriate way when you're doing it. In other words, if you could deal with the emotions on the emotional platform, you do, but when it doesn't work anymore, then you have to use logic. That's just the method. And so the difficulty it takes to go through that, one has to do. Just like Hiranyakashipu with all the women of the palace. Then you can, feel their pain, but it's not going to improve. So then he has to speak Vedanta philosophy. But he's speaking it very nicely. You can see by how he's speaking it, the tone, the words, how he's doing it. Then it's all that it brings out. So it's using that, but it's not outside the context of the emotions. That's just the method that has to be used. Is that make sense? It's also one of the. I think it's also one of the. Anubhavas. It has a name where you use logic when you're dealing in this thing kind of thing. So it's just one of the things that can be done to bring out the taste, because at this point the intensity is so great. There's nothing else you can deal with. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, according to them, they'd just follow the cowherd boys and then back to Nandagaon and just stay there, you know. And then Mother Jashoda would suddenly have a house full of all the Brahmins' wives. Right? So that's not actually an option. So then, you know, as you said here, they can't be servants because they're Brahmin ladies. So they have to be married, but he can't be married while he's in Braja. He'll only do that when he goes to Dwarka. So then it can't function on that platform. So they have to be able to, they have to go back. So then you have to have a philosophical understanding of how you'll make that work. Does that make sense?
Yeah? So when men fail in dealing with women, it's not because of the logic, it's because they're insensitive.
They're insensitive because if it's a minor thing, you just deal on the emotions and you deal there and it'll just run its course. But if the emotions are too intense that they get in the way of actual functioning, like that, then, you know, at the proper moment, then the philosophy has to be used. Because then what you're doing is bringing in intelligence. Because women can use intelligence and emotion at the same time. So it's not against the mood. For men, there'll be one or the other. But for women, they can do both. But the point is the logic has to be in consideration of the emotion. Like this. So, and it's not that it's not going to be difficult. No one said it's going to be easy. So that's the point. That some will say, oh, but then they react. But it's just, that's part of the process.
We see that they switch between the emotions very fast.
Yes, but that's...
Emotions and logic.
Yes, no, they can do that. That's the point. So it's not a problem to work with. But its point is, it's in the, you could say, the arena of the mind. Right? So for men, the mind will be the arena of intelligence. It's a difference of mood. But the point, because there's common qualities, it can work together. Right? Does that make sense? So the two go together, because otherwise it's just too much emotion. Then ladies can get into that. And if you ask what's the conversation about, it's like, don't ask. Because you'd never, you can't explain it. It's not, it's just, they're just tasting the flavors. Like that. So it's not that there's a logic in what's going on. It's about the logic is in the flow of emotions. Does that make sense? So here, then does that make sense? So it can be done, but you have to still be sensitive to how to deal with it. Is that... He smiled cheerfully, considered that by rejecting them, they would suffer. Or he smiled, considering how they would become peaceful by his speech. And after smiling, and smiling was natural to his face. So from all these three different angles, smiling is naturally one of his things. But it'll have both of them. Because here, as we see, is that the presentation was smiling. It wasn't just clicking into philosophy. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. It has to be still done with that proper, a mood that will match the situation. You know, just like with the women, that they speak sweetly. It doesn't mean that what they're saying is sweet. It's just said in a sweet way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's the same principle. Lord Krishna is going to say this afternoon.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhakti ki Jai Nitai Govardhana.